that a jury sits there, and if no mention is made of the breathalyzer, they think to themselves, well, this must be a pretty crappy case because the state doesn't have a breathalyzer.
That's a good idea. I put that goddamn breathalyzer statute. As far as I recall anything, I had a beat to it, low close, so I was going to have to back on reconsideration
and cast it by one or two votes. Could kill it. When it's not there, and we can't explain why it isn't there, it hurts us.
Well,
they expect it to be there.
I just believe that there's nothing you can do to a drunk that's too bad, including branding.
How do you feel about adultery?
Oh, no.
I call the meeting to order, May the 30th. Present for the purposes of quorum are Senators Ray, Tillian, Ziegler, and Holman.
Are you going to be first in here? We have two documents to present to the committee this morning, this afternoon. One by Larry and one by Dave. Did this have committee distribution before?
No, Senator. It was only distributed to yourself. Should I begin? The handout that I have prepared, to be distinguished from Dan's handout, it's the first page says in the top chapter 16, Parties to Crime, is accompanied with a very short memorandum to Senator Holman, in which I outline how the chart is set up. What the chart does is discusses the 141 amendments that have been made to the criminal code by the Senate Judiciary Committee. If you look on the first page of the chart, the way the chart is set up, first column lists the amendment number. The second column is the section number of the statute. Third column would be the title of the statute. Fourth column would be the change that was made by the Senate Judiciary Committee. And what I have done here is I've referred in all instances to the House version, the House Committee substitute, and the specific page number and line number of the change. And then in the final column, I have a brief explanation of why the change was made. Now, the 141 amendments that were made to the code, 67, in my estimation, are technical changes. And those are amendments which simply add clarity or improve the organization of the code, but do not make substantive changes. Now, those amendments are signified by the letter T underneath each number. So, for example, Amendments 1 through 6 are all technical, and there's a T underneath it. The remaining 74 amendments are substantive. Now, I just think, in terms of just a summary of the chart, I think there are four main areas of changes that were made by the Senate Judiciary Committee. The first one was in classification of crime. I think in about 8 instances, crimes were classified higher. In about 2 or 3 instances, crimes were classified lower. Second area of major changes was in the firearm offenses. I think there were 10 changes there. Third major area was in kidnapping, and we essentially rewrote the kidnapping provisions and custodial interference provisions. The final area was in sentencing, and I think that rather than attempt to try to write out every change that were made to the terms of imprisonment. On page 36 of the chart, I show the comparison between the Senate presumptive sentencing approach and the House presumptive sentencing approach, and it's very similar to the chart that I was using during the presentation. And just to emphasize how the numbers are set up, if the numbers above the broken line on page 36 are the numbers from the Senate, I'm sorry, the numbers above the broken line are from the House Committee substitute. The numbers below the broken line are from the proposed Senate Committee substitute. All numbers and circles are presumptive sentences, and I think it's a useful way to see the differences between the two versions. Finally, I guess this is really the fifth main area of change, is that we simply responded to a great number of concerns about the criminal code that were raised by police organizations and by the Department of Law. And it's hard to put a specific percentage estimate estimate on what percentage of changes are responded to here, what percentage of changes are solved. But I think it's pretty close to 80% of the changes that have been suggested to us. So I hope the chart I prepared is self-explanatory, and if there are any questions as to any change, I'd be happy to go into more detail at this time or at any other time later.
Any other questions of Mr. Stern?
This is very helpful as well. I'm sure the maps will be equally as helpful.
I should point out that that's both Dan's chart and my chart were done independently. We did not work together on the charts. So he may emphasize something that I did not emphasize.
We have these insufficient numbers to distribute them to senators' desk tomorrow.
They will be ready. I could have them in sufficient numbers, so it will be ready at 10 o'clock, time of the session.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? No.
Is that the request to have them on?
Yeah.
Okay. Would it, would you like me also to include a copy of the House Committee substitute with it, since the...
They have that document in there.
Yes.
We'll have that
one. Okay, fine.
Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The document that I submitted to the committee is somewhat similar to Barry's. It has three columns. The first column shows the amendment that was proposed by the Department of Law by page and line reference to the House Committee substitute. The middle column is a brief explanation as to the reason for the proposed amendment, and the last column is an indication of what this committee did. And you'll note I counted through there, 89, for example, of the suggestions we made were adopted, and I say somewhere in the neighborhood of as we proposed them. Another 10 to 12 were adopted with some modification, and approximately another 10 or 12 were not adopted. And so Barry is, with respect to the amendments we proposed, he's at least correct in characterizing what this committee did as responding in the case of 80% of the recommendations we made. All of them are ones that are familiar to the committee that we've gone through, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions that the committee has about the department's feeling about the bill as a whole at this point, or about the document I just provided you with.
How does the department feel about the bill as a whole?
The department feels that this committee has made a substantial improvement in the bill as a whole, that we feel that you've been most responsive to the concerns we've brought to your attention, both from a prosecution perspective and from the perspective of the law enforcement community in the state, and feel very good about the bill at this point, Senator.
Okay, I stood upon Mr. Chairman, stood upon myself to call Chief Barkley and tell him that it was up to get a copy of Hoover to see if they had any proposed changes. Might be a good idea if you and or Barry would give him copies of your resumes or have him send some deputy sheriff or somebody up to get copies of it so he could have the benefit of those.
I'd be happy to, Senator. We would have done that.
So would he, I'm sure.
We would have done that, but I thought that the committee would want to have an opportunity to go through it one final time before we did so.
We should get it to him today.
Okay.
Any questions of her? Gardner opposed to the sheriff. Is Barry Brown up here?
I would, by the way, Mr. Chairman, like to thank the committee very much for its willingness to allow me to work with it on a daily basis in considering this bill, and in the courtesy you've extended to myself and the administration on this particular bill. I'm very appreciative.
Two-way street, we appreciate your assistance.
He's not present.
Rob was supposed to bring the bills in committee to see if there were any...
want to entertain a motion?
So I think we'll hold this. If there are, we'll distribute the two documents to the membership tomorrow and maybe wait for reaction from them or from maybe Chief Barkley. Pass it out later.
Okay.
There's nothing else. We'll stand in adjournment.
All right.
Morning.
Well, I'll leave all my stuff here.
Barry, the same thing for Dan's document. Will that be?
Sure. I'll
yeah, that should go to Barkley, too.
Might be a good idea, Dan, if you could drop copies of both documents in the mail to G candidates.
I'll do so.
On the desk, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We'll do that right now.
I'd like to say, I think this Judiciary Committee has a much better grasp of the issues than the House Judiciary Committee.
Thank you. Senator Sagan's been on the Judiciary Committee ever since I can remember, as have I.
Yeah, I served with Howard Pollack and Jake.
You may comment about his grasp, but most often about his reach.
I got the first 11 pages of Pollack.
We should identify this material.
Feel a lot better since I spent a little time on the vote.
Senate Judiciary Committee by Barry.
That's where I was just going to go home and make love to my wife when I ended up down there on the engine.
Would you go all the way to Halibut Cove?
Yeah. I only ran boat one afternoon. I went up there. Delivered a bunch of tigers.
Oh, actually,
yeah, I don't know. So, he unloaded all those in one and took it to him and off in the middle of Ketchumack Bay.
Yeah, unfortunately.
The difference is that, no, the difference is that. Those are going to vote for Jay. I'll pick up again and bring back.
Yeah, I think they were down.
It's the first one that I'm reading. Confusing. We had lots of people. Now, there was one group camping at the mouth of the Alcatraz. That my daughter
major problems
and I aren't associated with that.
And you wouldn't have been local
we've got one boat out and it's been weather just like here. It's been sunshine for a few hours, going to rain, and I've got a boat up with it's been sandblasted and they have to go back and sandblast it again because it rusted it up. Well, thought it raining right after they got it sandblasted. And it's all streaks of rust. They had to go back and sandblast it again. Get the primers on. I have five of them.
The junker sitting out here is killed. What happened to your junker that was out here?
It's right down on the dock. It's the Coast Guard dock. All painted.
We didn't get it all fixed up.
Well, it makes sense, but I, you know, just working in the guard high night, yes, Barry, I've got maybe half an acre, and I already told you on those work that cutting firewood or camp. But it's hard to come back into the real world to this puzzle to where things aren't really working in mind. Well, you know, I'm a Yankee, so those things that I can't physically see or touch, I tend to discount or of small value. And it's quite hard to see what you're doing here. While there, you can, you know, each day there's a little
something. Now, John knows about it, Steve knows about it, so I'll take this to him. It's written and all. I'll let you know and then you can tell me about it.
Speaking of the library,
we do have some documents that are working on.
We're going to...
You can take mine if you want to.
I want to check on that joyriding thing. Surviving taxes.
The joyriding thing was...
Put in a bill for that, and so we were told, well, that'd be taken care of in the criminal court.
Well, ours changed, it's still a misdemeanor. Under certain conditions.
So are you going back to...
But damage results, or the car is gone for a prolonged period.
You could have gone to felony.
What about the second or first offense?
Oh, yeah, it gets a lot rougher.
Yeah, that, I think that's the way it works.
Yeah. Yeah, here's your... No, that's the kidnapping one. But you can look her up. I was just looking at it a moment ago.
Yeah, well, if you go out next week, all the...
But we broke down what's joyriding versus, no, we expanded car theft to where, if you parked it where a person couldn't reasonably find it, have the car theft.
I don't extend it to everybody, but
or if
people don't have faith in being able to do this.
And we made it fairly severe anyway.
I think that the change was a
great house
for
We put that out of five blocks for this stolen guy's car on this hung horn with permission to plane or something like that. $500 was counting up the whole block.
He thought he was great. You run into some of those bizarre people.
Yeah, it's not $200,000.
That's really great.
How was the weather? Was it cleared up and rumbling out?
We never got rid of them.
Couldn't see the Mango Mountain. Well, that's the Wrangles. There's one, when it's really clear, there's this one mountain that
he's forsaken
that perpetrates a lot of that. It's right off when not very far, but now and then when it's clear, it's just like
it's a very close question. The statute is quite broad. That in a lot of circumstances, there is the countervailing argument of the statute that all parties because it is so broad that it doesn't require you to use it for your own gain. It requires your supply. Forgery is a very example of a
forgery.
He was very nice.
Yeah, I've always passed through the
and all three levels in the first degree, all three types of conduct.
The Wrangler itself took a chance to wrangle mountain
dealing with money, instruments like stocks and bonds.
Oh, yeah, there's
made those.
There's a lot of railroads.
Checks.
A lot of track will change.
Overgrown, but just about what I consider to be the major reasons in this particular car pertaining to
I love Peg, I love Patrick.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Sure is a lesson for me on, you know, how fast it runs itself.
There's a lot of
burn that tire now, like, I thought it came to the edge for some reason. And my fence became, and rivers tries to incorporate replacement.
No longer clear people.
What we have to resist in law is you can't incorporate a lien or debt, which is an important provision.
We'll see you. And we keep dying, your wife won't give me some money, and I think your body doesn't pay that.
I've had a number of very nasty fights over morticians holding some of my constituents.
That's right.
Yeah, because the trooper orders an autopsy, they fly them to Anchorage. The law states they must embalm if they held over 24 hours. Here's the widow getting the corpse back. She can't afford the embalming, let alone the casket. They don't turn over the body, and it's a very tough time, you know. So you just have to...
They indicted a guy in Anchorage a few years ago, Green, for that very thing, didn't they?
Well, he was indicted...
No, he was double shuffling coffin.
Right, he was indicted.
That's a standard, that's a...
Now it's an art studio.
Hmm?
Now it's an art studio, his old place.
The
inventory where it was.
Same with the revisions for the camp.
So what do you explain that for?
Well, I think that on prostitution, for example, the committee has taken a more rational approach and has simplified the overall structure. If you look at the prostitution sections, compare them with the House version, they're not too far apart, but they've been you know, sort of cut down. I mean, they're not as long, not as wordy. There's also some areas that have been eliminated in terms of the scope of coverage. The number of changes, significant changes, I think, were made in terms of the offenses pertaining to weapons, some of which were in response to concerns raised by myself, and some in response specifically to concerns raised by Mr. Evers. For example, the House version of the bill had the offense of possession of a weapon by a convict only applicable if the prior offense committed by the defendant was a crime of violence. This committee changed that to any felony. So that what that means is that if you committed any felony within 5 years after the time you've been released from either sentence of imprisonment, probation, or parole, you can't have a concealable weapon in your possession. That, I think, is a good change, because if you're serious about classifying offenses as felons, if you're classifying only that conduct which society should regard as serious conduct as felons, then it's appropriate to possess a concealable weapon for that period of time. If that's not appropriate, then it ought not to be a felony. So we felt that the distinction crime law violence was a difficult one to work with. Ultimately, I got down to a meeting. The other thing they did was
a concealable
weapon.
Any weapon that could be
concealed. No.
About your shotgun.
No. Concealable on or about the person. The House version had three sections classified as a misdemeanor offense under misconduct involving weapons in the second that the committee raised to a C felony. Misconduct involving weapons in the first degree, which I thought was good improvement. They involved things like removing a serial number that you can't buy for ship.
I
provisions I'm talking about are knowingly selling capable of being concealed about you. The person you know has been convicted of a felony. Okay, in other words, we're doing that. manufacturing, possessing, transporting, selling, or transferring a prohibited weapon, such as sawed-off shotguns, machine guns, hand grenades, things like that. And knowingly sells, transfers a firearm to a person whose physical mental condition is substantially impaired as a result of the use of alcohol. And removing, covering, altering, or destroying the manufacturer's serial number to render the firearm traceable. That I think is particularly important to address the So I think those were good chances in the weapons area. And I think the committee made a number of significant technical improvements in the justification provisions. I agree. The justification provisions force, self-defense, defense of property, the use of force by a peace officer, etc. Most of which were responsive to technical concerns raised by either the Department of Law or the schools. There were some changes. I think that probably the most significant change this committee made, even though it isn't that different from the House bill, but it's sufficiently different to make, substantial differences in the sentencing provisions. I think that the changes made by the committee substantially improve the sentencing structure set out in the House bill. The structure does vary a lot. But
maybe that's
the house bill. It's basically a version that I proposed, and what it does is it tries to provide the judge with the sentencing judge himself with sufficient flexibility to deal directly with serious offenders across the board. Okay, and at the same time, it responds to legitimate concerns raised by certain people that some of the presumptive terms for the lower class of felons were excessive in terms of A, what people should get for those offenses, and B, what people are getting today for the as a statistical average.
No, wait, the C felon, is it increased all of them?
No. Here's what it did, for example. On a C felony, there is no presumptive sentence for the first offense. Recall, I lost that battle. I raised it here, I lost it here too. I still think that the best sentencing scheme would be a comprehensive one that applied this principle of presumptive sentencing. Once you accept it as an idea, it's a good idea across the board. But I think that the scheme adopted by the Senate at least rationalizes the fact that first offenders are left out. Okay, so a C felony, the first offense has been included. The House had set a maximum of 3 years. The Senate, the maximum for a second or third offense was 6 years. So they had different statutory maximums depending on whether it was a first offense or a second or third offense that could be imposed no matter how bad the offense was. Now, my argument on this was that by doing so, that basically places more importance on the old offense than it does on the present offense, the offense for which the defendant is being sentenced. And I contended to the committee that the statutory maximum should be the same across the board for all offenses, whether it's the first, second, or third, you see. Because I think that recognizes that the most important consideration in sentencing is the present offense and its circumstances. A legitimate consideration is whether or not there is a prior history of criminal offenses, but that should not be given more importance than the circumstances of the present offense. So what you see is in the Senate version on a C felony, a first offender in a really aggravated case could get
as much as someone with two priors. It's a really aggravated case. The presumptive term stayed the same on the second. I went down a year on the third, and for both second B's and second and third C's, there's a sort of a recognition built that these offenses are in terms of their facts, are sufficiently different and involve varying levels of conduct that it's not inappropriate that if a defendant is able to establish by clear and convincing evidence mitigating factors, the judge have the flexibility to go from the presumptive term down to a suspended sentence, okay, down to zero. And that's what this did. Now, by the same token, the Senate, that would be, I suppose, a more lenient provision because the fact that the statutory maximums are increased for first offenders is, you know, a tougher.
Except for
B's and C's. A's basically stay the same, and we got rid of that 3.5 years, which is just kind of silly there. But the other important thing in my mind, Senate did, that is the opposite of the loss for the word, is that whenever you have a factor in aggravation present, and I've been able to establish it, the prosecution's been able to establish it, my career convincing evidence, the sentencing judge then himself has the discretion to go all the way to statutory. See, the House used to have a situation where, okay, a second felony conviction would get you, you know, 10 years on presumptive. If you established aggravation, you go to 15, which is less you get for the first, which is ridiculous. So I said that, you know, one of my arguments for having a scheme for first offenders is that once you have it for second and third, you put these kind of limits on it, you automatically force the judge to try and figure out what you would have done if you wouldn't have done it first. So what you're going to have is you're going to have 20 or 22, however many Superior Court judges there are, presumptive sentencing schemes for first offenders unless you do something about it. And I think that what the Senate did basically takes care of that because it has built into it a recognition that when you're dealing with an aggravated case, the circumstances are such that it's appropriate for the judge himself to be able to aggravate it